Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. I've never used a mic before. I've always got handheld, so if my hands go mental, that explains why. Three things about me today. I survived December, I didn't have a cold, nothing, and then I get into January, and my lovely wife, who's a nurse, gives me everything that she gets at the hospital. So that's why I sound like this. I don't usually, so put up with my voice, I do apologise. The second thing is I ask lots of questions. Don't be nervous, you don't have to shout out. You can. I've had people shout out answers I wasn't expecting during a sermon, so I can deal with it. So if you want to shout out, please do. But if I ask you to raise your hand, don't worry, I'm not going to be taking notes of who's putting their hand up, so don't worry about that. And thirdly, this is pretty much the smartest I'll ever look, unless it's a funeral or a wedding. I've really tried hard for you today. I hope you appreciate it. Usually it's jeans and a hoodie. So I thought I'd just say thank you so much for having us, Richard, Kim, all you guys. It's such a pleasure to be here. It's been a bit of a crazy journey for myself and Nia. That's my lovely wife, sat here in the second row. She's a nurse. She works as she's a kids nurse, children's nurse, and she's just got a job in A&E because the ward is too boring for her. And she hates quiet days, and she always tells me she wishes that there were more sick children so she had a busier work to do, which I tell her is a terrible, terrible thing, and that God will judge her for it. But that's fine. That's just her own opinion, so I let her have it. Richard's mentioned it, but we just want to say how grateful we are for all your guys' support to us. When we went, when the opportunity to go to Cannon Valley Church came up, it was quite scary. I came from a family which initially didn't have wasn't that well off, but as we've grown up, and I think as the kids have left the house, my parents have finally got some money to have. I think that's how it happens. Yeah, I think that's how it works. And so I knew that God was going to turn that stone over in my life. I knew that he was going to wrestle away my need and my desire to be stable with money. I was wishing he wouldn't, but he did. And so we went, and before we got married, me and Nia, we prayed together and we said, God, we don't want a normal life. We want to live a crazy life for you. And sometimes, guys, that means stepping out in faith. And it was crazy. It wasn't just that you supported us. As I sent the text to Luke to say, we're going to go for it. We're going to dive in. Don't worry about finance. He texts me back saying, we've just had an offer of sponsorship. It was on the day. And so we just want to say thank you. Not only have you blessed us, but do you know what? You were an answer to our prayers. You know, sometimes we go, oh, you know, we want to co-mission with God. We want to work with God in this. And that's great. Maybe I'll help someone. I'll do this. And God, you can do the miracles. But actually, we're responsible for partnering with God, even in his miracles, even in what he does. You guys were a miracle to us. You were one of the many signs that God said, I want you to go there. I want you to go to the valley. And it wouldn't have been our first choice of place to go. But you guys were a big part of supporting us in that decision. So I just want to say a massive thank you from both of us for what you did. Let me give you a brief explanation of the church and then I'll crack on with the word. Our church is called Cannon Valley, C-Y-N-O-N. That's because in Welsh, Y makes an "uh" sound. So if you say sign on, don't worry. That's what everyone says. But Cannon Valley Church. So we are in the Cannon Valley, obviously. And it's quite a deprived area. Our church is on an estate. Where it's a council estate, and so we have quite tough people coming dealing with stuff every day. But you know, it's a place where people are so desperate for something. And you know what? We've got the best gift that we can give them. We've got the gospel. We've got Jesus. We've got hope and life. And it's been a challenging time, as Richard said. I came in under Luke, and then God called him away. And although sometimes it's hard to accept God's decisions on things, and you go, "No, God, I think you're lying to these people," get behind me, Satan. But no, it was like, well, no, you know, we wanted to bless him, and I'm 24, so I'm quite a young pastor, and I didn't even want to go into ministry. I said to God at the end of my 3 years at Bible college, I said, right, God, I say I need some life experience. No one's going to respect me as a person. Then I'm not going to be able to sit in front of someone that's going through something. I'm 24. All I do is play Xbox. That's a lie. I play a little. And I needed some life experience. And so I said, I'm going to go get a graduate job. Nothing came up. And through loads of different signs, your gift as well. He said, no, you're not. you're going to go into ministry. And 6 months later, I'm leading a church, which doesn't sound real to me when I say it. But, you know, sometimes when you step out in God, he gives you more than you think you can handle, but he equips you when you step out. So I just want to encourage you in that today. And I was writing this sermon, and when I felt what God was saying to me, I thought, God, this church has been so lovely to me and Nia. They've blessed us deeply. Let me just go and be so positive. Let me just go in like, you know, God's love is amazing. Let me go and say all this awesome stuff. And the title of my sermon today is, What's Your Excuse? And I thought, God, wait, come on, man. Like, seriously? Like, let me say something nice, please. Like, and I just felt he wanted me to ask. And I've said this to my congregation. When we bring a word, preachers bring a word, often we ask you to chew on it as you move forward. I want to encourage you that. I'm not saying, what's your excuse? Do it. You know, I've had the last couple of weeks, God challenging me on this as well. So I'm walking through this journey myself. On this. So I'm from a family of four kids. I am the third. I've got a twin, an identical twin brother, who is the fourth. He is 4 minutes younger than me, which makes him the youngest child. I remind him of that constantly. And so we got good at making excuses. We got good at passing the buck. Even being an identical twin, even if there's video evidence, I have someone I can pass it on to. Do you know what I mean? You don't know who it was. It could have been. He has the same face as me. You could have got nothing on me. And there's a one story from a childhood. I think I was about 3 or 4. And for those parents in the room, you got kids. You might know that actually it's probably safer if you can hear the kids making noise, because when there's silence, it means something's going on. It means something bad is happening. And we were at my granny's, and suddenly silence fell over the room, and my parents suddenly got very, very scared. And they looked around, and me and my brother Luke weren't anywhere to be found. And so they ran into the kitchen and sat in a box, I don't know why, in a cardboard box with two of us, jam covering our faces, pastry on our tops and our trousers, smiling with an empty box of jam tarts in between us. And my parents walk in and trying to hide the laughter, because it's always funny when kids do something naughty, you know. And they said, boys, where are Granny's jam tarts? And we sort of look at each other, and there's a look in our eye that says, don't rat me out. And we look back and we just go, don't know. Don't know. Yeah. Jam covered, pastry everywhere, open to jam tart box in between us. But we stuck to our guns, man. We stuck to our guns. And then, yeah, I don't know. There's another thing that I did, faking sick. We've all faked sick, right? Everyone's done that. I know, even, not as a pastor. I've never done it as a pastor. Never as a pastor. I mean, with school or uni or something like that. We've all faked sick once. And, you know, there's three stages to faking sick that I've decided on. And the third one is something that I call, you know, going the extra mile. And it's something I think I created myself. And so the first one is obviously, it's the sick voice. Mom, I don't feel so good. Yeah, okay, we've all done that. Lying in bed, Mom. So she goes out the room. What you want to do is then, the second stage is then, it's the cough, it's the symptom. But you don't want to do it when she's in the room, because it's too obvious. You want to do it just as she's leaving. So it's almost like you don't want her to know. Cough, so she's thinking, right, okay, he's sick, I can hear him, bad voice. You know, the final test of any mother is the back of the hand on the forehead, isn't it? It's the temperature, see how you're doing. And I thought, right, I've got to fake this somehow. I've got to make this real. So, and this is where it's called going the extra mile. I took my duvet, I pulled it tight, and I Chinese burned my own forehead. I remember telling my mum about 3 weeks ago this. I said, Mum, one time when I faked sick, I Chinese burned my own forehead to get a day off school. She was like, no way. And so, and just like, oh. And then put her hand, you're boiling. I know, I don't feel good. And I was like, and that's the third stage. If you ever need to do that, go ahead with the Chinese burn on the forehead. It's painful, but you get a day off, so it's worth it. So I'm sure we've all had days like that where we've all made the excuse. We've all made an excuse for something, for not wanting to go to work, for not wanting to do that thing. You know, I make excuses daily for not doing the washing up, or not, you know, putting the washing out or something like that. We've all had times like that, haven't we, where we think, oh, you know, I'm going to make an excuse. I'm going to make a... It's funny when you become an adult, though, isn't it? The word excuse changes and it becomes reason. Oh, I've got a reason. I've got a reason for that. It's just excuse, everyone. That's just an excuse. You know, stop saying we've got a reason. It's just an excuse. But you know what? There might be times today where you make excuses for things which are a little bit more serious. Maybe it's not going to see that loved one, which maybe you should have gone a few weeks ago. Maybe it's not saying sorry because you think you've got a right to have them say sorry first. Maybe we give ourselves reason and excuses not to be obedient to the call of God because, hey, it's scary, or I can't see the next step, or... You know, we all have those moments where we think, do you know what, God, I'm I'm going to give you a reason. And let me tell you, I'm not perfect. I gave God every reason in the book not to go to Connell Valley Church. I gave him every reason in the book not to become a pastor. But you know what? Actually, when God sees these things, he knows it's not a reason. It's an excuse. And sometimes it takes us to look at ourselves hard in the mirror and go, is this really a reason? Or am I making an excuse to God? And it's tough. And we're going to turn to two sections of the Bible. One that was really, really important for me and Nia. It was a real clear sign for us to go down to ministry. And one is one that I've really only discovered properly and connected with me recently. So that's the one we're going to go to first. It's Jeremiah 1. So if you want to turn with me to there. We're going to be looking at what God says when we make excuses. When God says when we make those reasons for ignoring him, for being disobedient, for not doing those things which actually we know in our heart is right. It's Jeremiah 1. We're going to start from verse 4. And I have absolutely terrible eyes. I'm going to hold my Bible very close to my face. I hope you don't mind. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. So what do we see in this passage in Jeremiah? We see one of the most incredible, faith-lifting, fear-shattering statements of God. He says, I know you. I created you. I have appointed you. I have a plan and a purpose and a way for you. There is nothing you have to fear. I know you. I knew you then. I know you now. I will send you where I send you. You will say my words. Don't worry about it. And what does Jeremiah do? He goes, oh, you've got all that stuff for me. Okay, let me think how I can do that. Let me think how I can do that in my own strength. Wait. Something doesn't match up. I'm too young, God. No, this doesn't make sense. I'm too young for what you're telling me I'm going to do. This doesn't make sense. Sorry. I can't do it. It's funny, isn't it? When God's given him every single piece of information he needs to have faith, Jeremiah does the one thing that ignores everything God said, and he goes back to, how can I complete that? How do I do that in my strength? How do I figure this out in my knowledge and my perception of the world and my realities that I've faced for so long? How does my past affect this future? No. But what's God saying here is, it's my plan. It's my purpose for you. Why are you making excuses? He says it pretty clearly as God says anything. Don't say I'm too young. He actually says it. No, stop saying excuses. Stop giving me excuses. You know, Jeremiah thinks he's given God a reason, and God, all he hears is an excuse. And it's hard today because we think, no, come on, God, I want to give you a reason. I want to say these things. Surely this is my opinion. But God's saying, no, listen to my words. I have appointed you. I have chosen you. I made you in your mother's womb. I knew you then. I know you now. So why are you fearing? Why are you trying to figure this out on my own? And he sees what Jeremiah does. Jeremiah goes, oh, well, I'm going to have to do this or this. I'm going to have to say these words and go to these places. And God says, no, listen to what I'm saying. I will send you. Go to where I send you. Say the words I say for you to say. He's saying, don't think about it in your own strength. You know, guys, I had so many times where I stood in that church and went, I can't do this. I'm 24. I didn't even want to go into ministry 6 months ago. God, what's wrong with you? I'm not good enough. I have days when I miss my Bible, when I do this, I shout on my wife. I have days like this. I make mistakes. God, I'm not good enough for this. And he says, are you listening to me? Are you listening? I know you. I knew you then. I know you now. And I've appointed you for this thing. What makes you think I'm going to leave you now? What makes you think I'm going to leave you unequipped for what I've called you to do? What makes you think I'm not with you? You know, that's what God's saying in this thing in Jeremiah's And he has a choice. He has to think, okay. And God's like, right, I can see it's clearly not clicking yet, so I'm gonna go more. I'm not just gonna say I've appointed you. But he says all his strength and protection. He says, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. He puts his seal on it. He says, okay, I can see you're not just worried about what you have to do, but how people are going to react and what they're going to say and what if things go wrong. Guess what? It's in God's protection and God's sovereignty and God's authority and God's power that we do and he did and we will ever do anything that he's called us to do. That's it. It's in his strength. It's in his power. It's in his glory. And so why do we make decisions to believe it's about us? Because we do. Has anyone else had that? You walk into things and maybe you've been praying. You think, man, I've got to speak to this person or in work, or I've got to say this to this person. I've got to forgive that person in my family. I've got to show grace and love to my boss who's an idiot. I've got to do all this stuff. We've all thought it. Don't lie. And we go, how can I? I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough forgiveness for that. And God's going, I know. Yeah. But I have. And I will give it to you. I've appointed you for this thing. I've given you the grace and the love and the forgiveness. And just come back to the cross where it was all laid out and it was all divvied up. And come and get more if you need it. Come and get more because I will provide it. I will provide it for you. He says, no matter what age, no matter what stage you are at, no matter what wage you're on, no matter what issues you're going through, it's not about you. And I know Nia's probably bored of this message because I've been preaching this a heck of a lot because it's what I'm walking through. Because, and Richard would tell you, I sent him an email. He was like, how you doing? And I sent him an email like, I'm freaking out, man. I don't know what I'm doing. How am I meant to, and he's like, whoa. And it's funny, in the email, and I can't remember what you worded, but you said something like, you know, it's in his strength. It's in his strength. Go back to God. God sent you there. He's put you there. He's placed you there. And it was in everything I was reading and everything that's standing out to me as I read my Bible in these months is, it's, Sam, it's not about you. You'll come and you go. It's not about your strength or the gifting. It doesn't matter how good of this you are or how bad of that you are. I've chosen you for this time and this place. And I'm not just talking about ministry today, guys. I know that. And I was speaking to Sue earlier. I know that my wife is called to ministry for this, to nursing right now. That's her ministry. That's what God's called her to. So when she misses church, because she's got to go to work, I don't think, heathen. I go, she's calling out a ministry. She's a testimony in that hospital. Whether you're a teacher, a nurse, whether you're unemployed, whether you're working in big business, wherever you're at, God's put you there. It's not you haven't wound up there. God's appointed you for that place. And if you feel on your heart that God hasn't appointed you to that place, either go back to him and find out he has, or find the place he has appointed you. Because it's only in that place where he goes, I will protect you. I will send you. I will give you appointments. I will give you things. And it's not easy. I haven't turned up to this church in quite a rough estate and everyone's lovely. I've been sworn at. People have been aggressive with me. People begging me for food bank voucher. I've had that. And that's not easy. But just like Jeremiah, God says, I'll be with you. I go before you. I knew you then and I know you now. And you're going to be learning. You're going to be growing. There's going to be so much amazing stuff that's going to happen. But you're just going to have to step out in faith with me today. Step out in faith with me and do me a favor and don't make me excuses. Don't make me excuses. Even if you think they're just a reason. So let's go on to the next piece of text. It's Luke 9. And this is the scripture that was one of the main reasons that was a big reason that we went down at the end of college and decided to look into ministry. I said to God, I'm not doing it, God. Nope, no way, no chance. Gonna 5 years, I reckon. 5 years in a graduate job, make some money, get a nice car. I'm currently driving a Rover 25, which has rust all over it. So I'm like, God, I want money, please. that's funny. And I was writing my dissertation at the time about discipleship. That's what I chose to write it on. And I came to this scripture, and it's about God sending out his disciples. And I came to it, Luke 9, in fact, I'll read it out, and then I can explain a bit better. Luke 9, it's verses 57 we're going to start from. Luke 9, 57, titled The Cost of Following Jesus. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Not one to pull his punches, Luke. So here's this thing. I'm reading this as my dissertation and I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's interesting. Luke 9, that's cool. I'll leave it. Next day, so that was on Monday. Next day, Tuesday, I go into a lecture. She says, "Right, guys, we're going to be looking at Luke 9, 57. I'm like, okay. Open it up, know where it is. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, because I'm stubborn, I said, "God, that's not enough. You're going to have to prove it more." So the next day, Wednesday, we have our church our college devotions, which was like a church service. And right at the end, the pastoral dean stood up and he went, "Right, guys, I just felt God saying something from Luke 9, 57. I'm like, "God, are you kidding me? Like, what? It's like, give me a break. Like, and he says, "You know what? Some of you are making excuses here today, like these people, that they don't want to follow Jesus, to step out. And, you know, all of these are good excuses, but it's just an excuse. God's calling you. He's sending you." I was like, oh, man. So I went back to Nia and I was like, "Oh, Nia, I think we're moving to the valleys." Like, and that was it. And this verse was massive in that it really spoke to me about those excuses. And we're going to look at these. And I wouldn't say any of those are really, really bad excuses for these people to make. They're not bad reasons, are they? You know, "I want to go bury my father." Back in the day, that was a massive, massive place of respect. Let me give him the burial he deserves. It's a sign of honor passing on. It also would have been a time for the son, the eldest son, to receive inheritance. So it would have been a financial gain of him. It would have been spiritual. It would have been closure for him. And Jesus says, "Oh, no, leave him." That's a bit tough. The next one, "Let me go say goodbye to my family." And church is a family. And we're all about family and relationship and community. And Jesus says, no. Come follow me. And we're going to look at what all those things mean first. But the first one is one that I have never really fully understood. As they're walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head." I'm so glad Jesus got straight to the point with that. What this sort of talks about is Jesus is saying, you know, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to give up some of your rights. He was saying that actually, you know, even these animals of the ground, they get to have certainty. They get to know where they lay their head. They get to have a home, a house, a place they go to. But Jesus is saying, actually, following me means giving that up, means laying that down. It means saying, do you know what, God, if I don't know where my next meal's coming from, if I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from, if I don't know where I'm going to be staying tonight, okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, God. I think I can follow you. You know, he says that life following him rids you of your natural securities and rights to things, to safeties, to securities, things we put our natural security in. The second story is of a man wanting to bury his father. As I've said, it talks about leaving the past and moving forward. Because actually what this man is saying is, let me go and finish this bit of my past off and then I'll follow you. Let me go and cross the T's and dot the I's and make sure that's, you know, wrapped in a pretty bow before I follow you, God. But Jesus is saying, no, actually, my call is forward. My call is to the future and you want to turn and look at the past. No, actually, that's not good enough for me. My call is forward. My call is to the future. And I'm sure we've all experienced that in our own lives where we say, God, can I just, no, because I didn't say that and I should have done that. And God's saying, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow isn't here yet. Focus on today because, you know, I'm here with you in it. There's going to be enough troubles for today, the Bible says, but I'm going to be with you in it. Like he said to Jeremiah, I've appointed you. And it's tough. And that's hard for us to hear in this 21st century. And I appreciate that. I'm not saying it's an easy message to hear. But actually, we have to realize that God's message is a call forward. Jesus' call is a call forward. It's a call out. It's a proactive call. I'm really passionate about the Bible being proactive. It changes us. If we read the Bible and nothing changes, what's the point? We're just reading a big book. And I hate reading books at the best of times. So unless it's going to change me from the inside out, I am not interested. That's the reality of it. So sometimes I find Bible reading hard. And I'm so thankful when God meets with me and he shows me stuff. But let's let the Bible change us, guys, because otherwise, literally, what's the point? I'm not being funny, but what's the point? Let's let it change us. So that's the second story. It's about not looking back to the past, but looking forward. And then the third story is a man that wants to say goodbye to his family. It speaks of actually rejecting other human relationships in order, in comparison with God. I love the passage in Luke 14, the cost of being a disciple. I didn't put what verse it was. That's it. A large crowd gathered following Jesus. This is verse 25 in Luke 14. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else and by comparison, your father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Now, sometimes people read that and go, I have to hate people? No, don't hate people. It's talking about actually, in comparison with our love for Jesus, other people just don't match up. And this is what he's talking about in Luke 11. He's saying, oh, can I go say goodbye? Can I just go and have friends again? Can I just go and make sure I'm with people and my loved ones? And he's saying, actually, in comparison to me, in comparison to my call for your life, my appointment over your life, those people aren't, they don't mean anything compared to my call. They mean something and God loves them. But compared to his call for you, he's calling us out. He's calling us onwards. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. You know, I have, when people come into the church from the estate around us, a lot of the time, something I have to say is, you've got to pick what you want. You've got to pick Jesus or you've got to pick your friendship groups because these people will be in the wrong friendship groups. And sometimes it's hard and these people have grown up and seen them through the tough times. And I'm not saying they haven't helped them and loved them and cared for them. But sometimes our call from Jesus is away from other people and towards him. That's the reality. Our first love is chasing him first before other things. And he'll call you into community. He'll call you to have friends. He'll call you to connect with people and share his gospel. He'll do that, I promise you. But our first chase, our first eye, our first thing has to be to run forward. When 100-meter sprinters run, apart from if you're Usain Bolt, anyone else in the world has to keep their eye on the finishing line. If they turn and look, you slow down. You have to have your eye on the prize and what God's calling you to. So those are the three stories. We see people giving reasons that they can't follow Jesus. And I want to bring to the fore, actually, that none of them say no. Isn't that interesting? None of them say, no, God, I'm not going to follow you. They all say, yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. I get you, I hear you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you, but can I just... Sorry, just one second. Do you mind if I, isn't it funny? And it's like Jesus is going, he maybe not even have been speaking to new believers there. He's going to, if you're on the faith journey, he's saying this to us as well. He's not saying this to you, oh, come and follow me, come and be saved. Come, you know, I'm sure he is, but actually he's saying to these people who want to follow him, who are following him even, nothing else in comparison, please. Nothing else first. Put me first. Chase after me first. You can go sort about that stuff later, but it doesn't come first. I come first. Don't give me excuses. Don't give me your reasons, because my call comes first. So they're the three sections. What have we seen in those sections that we can take in today's life? Because as I said, it has to be practical. We have to feel it and live it in this 21st day. In Bristol or Welsh Valleys, wherever we're at. And so what's the first thing? Jeremiah told God he was too young. But God reminded him that it was nothing to do with Jeremiah. It was not to do with him. It was to do with God's plan, God's appointment. And not only that, God says, hey, if you need it, I'll give you the protection. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the authority to say these words. I'll give you these things. Because let's not forget, being a prophet back in these days, you were shunned, you were rejected. Prophets were never listened to, despite the fact that they were very often right. Well, always right, the ones in the Bible. But, you know, you were very often shunned, so it was a big thing. And Jeremiah says, understandably, all these excuses and these reasons, may I say, are all understandable. They're things we all struggle with. But God just says, let's have a change of mindset. So Jeremiah says, I'm too young. But God says, I'll provide. It's not about you, it's about me. We also see Jesus address reasons not to follow him, not to follow God's call, whether that's, you know, the past, human relationships, or money, as we've discussed. And as I've said, what's funny is we often see these Bible readings and we go, oh, okay, that's you know, 30, 50, 60 BC, whatever, that's what they were going through. But it doesn't really relate to me. But actually, what have we dealt with in these passages? What have we dealt with? We've dealt with self-doubt, reliance on self, not trusting God, lack of faith. Who struggled with that before? I have. Every day. I mean, I'm not kidding you, I literally had small panic attacks when they offered me the job. I woke up in the morning, she'd be going to work, I'm not kidding, and I was doing breathing exercises because I had a pit in my stomach, I couldn't breathe, and I was like, this is mental. Like, this is crazy. This can't be right. I had a lack of faith. I was looking at myself. I was going, I've got to come up with vision. I've got to create people. I've got to, you know, come up with things. How are we going to run Alpha? How are we going to do this? Bam, 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 bam. And God's going, didn't I appoint you? Didn't I give you your direction? Didn't I call you out? Do you want to maybe ask me about these things? Do you want to maybe sit and pray for like 2 minutes and just see what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden I went, oh, now it's on me. And God's going, no, it was never on you. And it's not on you. In your situation, you might be looking and you might be going, oh, so it's on me to come up with the right things to say to my friends in work. It's up to me to find that strength to forgive that family member who I just can't forgive. It's up to me to find the finances and budget. It's up to me, it's up to me, it's up to me. No, 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 no. Let's hear this today, guys. It's not up to us. Because as soon as it becomes up to us, we start making excuses. In fact, it gives us the right to make excuses. Because when it is up to me, I am not ready, I am not good enough, I am not prepared enough, I am not, you know, strong enough and gifted enough. Because when it's up to me, I fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God, but that's the beauty that. And people say Christianity is real tough, real restricting. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I've had days where it's like, oh man, I wish I could just go out and do what I want. But when you have the opportunity to release the stress, to release the pressure, release the tension that's on you, that's stressing you out, that's freaking you out about things. Isn't that freeing? Isn't that nice being able to go, oh God, I'm going to say these words to my friends, but it's by your Holy Spirit that you have to impact. It's by your Holy Spirit will change them, your power, your... That frees me, and I hope today maybe it's a realization for you that living life with God, giving it over to him, following his plan, you know, leaving the past behind, that's freeing. The world will lie to you and tell you, oh no, you want to hold on to the past. But who knows here that that's never healthy. That's not helpful. God's call calls us away and forward out of that. So every day we give reasons, don't we? We see these things and self-doubt and self-reliance and these issues and we go, okay, God, well, I couldn't possibly do all that. I couldn't do this in my own strength. But the reality is, what do we do today then? What does tomorrow look like for you? What does this week look like for you at work, at university, at home? What does it look like? Simply put, we've got to stop giving God excuses. And it'd be wrong of me to say that that would be it, because I'm not stupid. I make excuses every day. And if it came down to me, I'd keep making them for the rest of my life. So hear me today. I'm not just saying, just stop making excuses. So let's look to the text then. How do we do it? Well, it takes a change of mind and a change of heart. And it's one of the most, it's a really quoted piece of scripture. And I should have turned the corner on it. It's in Romans 12, if you want to join me. Oh, I've got it down actually, that's helpful. And it says, how do we just have this change of mind and heart? You know, how do we start to see things from God's perspective? How do we start to go, okay, God, I'm going to hand over that responsibility. I'm going to hand over that worry, that reliance on self. I'm going to hand that over to you. Well, how do you do it? Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, it's so easy to be Jeremiah and to look at our own strength, isn't it? All those times that I've experienced and I've shared with you today. But do you know what? The behavior and the customs of this world, you know, it, they are given excuses. We give excuses because it's a custom of this world. That's what Romans 12 talks about. Don't be conformed to this world. That's what this world does. It passes the buck, like me with the jam tarts, you know, or it makes excuses. It says, no, I didn't do that. Or that was him, or that was her. Or no, I can't do that. Oh, sorry, I can't come in. Oh, I'm sick. That's a pattern of this world. And until we realize that, and until we realize that actually we weren't created to give God excuses, we weren't created to give reasons why we can't do these things, actually we'll just keep giving them. We'll just keep giving them. If I don't accept the fact that actually I'm not created to do it on my own, I'm going to keep giving him reasons why I can't. You're going to keep giving him reasons why you can't, and I wouldn't blame you. But actually, God has called us out of that. God will transform us by changing the way we think. It's not even on us to change the way we think. I was talking about Christianity being free, and God's Spirit, actually, when we live alive to his Spirit, when we say, God, okay, come in, change me, change the way I think, he will do it. He changes the way we think about situations. The moment I've started going to Neil, okay, you need to pray for me, you need to uphold me, you need to support me. The moment I've started praying together and things have started to change, and in the moments that I've started to think that it's about me, God's caught me early, before I can go down and spiral down that pit of anxiety and stuff like that, he goes, whoa, stop. It's not about you. And that's it. And then that's what Romans here is talking about. He starts to change the way we think, that those struggles that you're struggling with today, actually, when we start giving that over to God, that'll become less and less of a struggle. Hey, it might stay. It might take years. It might take months. It might take days. I don't know how lucky a person you are. But God's going to change you. He's going to change the way you think. He's going to change the way you think. He's going to change the way you live and act. You know, we need to let him be him. We need to let him come in and change us, because the moment we make it about us, where we're back with Jeremiah again. God, I'm too young. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not wise enough. You know, sometimes we say to God, and I found myself saying to this, well, why? Why should I? Give me a reason, which is ridiculous, by the way, but I do it. I said, give me a reason I should believe in you. Give me a reason that I should do all this, that I should want to be renewed. Give me a reason. Let me tell you, like, mental health is so massive in today's society. Let's not ignore it. Why is it? It's because of this social media output. It's because of all this sort of stuff which says, look at my life, look at how bare it is, look at all the things I'm doing, look at how good I am. And anxiety grows, and this thing happens where all of a sudden we're all looking at how we can make ourselves better. You know, it's self-help books, it's, you know, diet yourself, all these sorts of things that say, oh, you can make yourself fantastic. You can show people your life's awesome. And no one's life is that awesome. No one's. Because the moment you start saying, I'm going to change this, we spiral into anxiety, whether it's ministry or whether it's just home life, or maybe it's worrying about your marriage, or maybe it's her finances, or I need to prove to people I've been on all these awesome holidays and take these photos. And all of a sudden we spiral and we spiral, and God says, he's going to do something amazing. He's going to change the way we think. Why? Let's read the end of Romans 12:2. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God says, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm not just doing this so you can glorify me. I'm doing this because this makes our life pleasing, good, perfect. His will for us, his direction for us, his call for us is actually the best, perfect plan for you. It's the perfect plan for you. I wouldn't have picked Cunham Valley Church as the perfect plan for me. I wouldn't have picked going on no finance as the perfect plan for me. I'm from a middle class background. I never really connected with that lifestyle, that council estate, that low income lifestyle. I've never had to do it. That wouldn't have been my perfect plan for me. And until I accept this, until I start believing this, until I start to go, you know, God, yeah, your plan is perfect for me, then I can step into what God's got for me. And that's why I challenge you today. You might hear and go, oh, I hate my work. I hate my job. Just because we hate it, just because it's not right for us, doesn't mean it's God's perfect plan for you. It's just that we've forgotten to let him do it in his strength. We sit here in these jobs which God's called us to, and we make it all about us. And we make it all, you know, in that friendship group which you just can't break, or that family relationship you just can't shift. And we go, oh, God, well, how am I going to do this? And God's going, oh, man, I've got a plan for you. And you're in it, but you're not giving it to me. You're not releasing it to me. You're holding on to it and trying to figure this out. You're doing a Jeremiah. You're saying, I'm too young. Or you're saying, can I just go sort the past out before I move forward? Or please, can I just have friends? No, God's saying, I've put you in this place. I want to encourage you today. If you're in a place where you feel dry, where you feel empty, where you feel lost and alone, God's put you in this place. And he says he's appointed you. God has literally appointed every single one of us for where we're at. And it might be difficult. It might be painful. I'm not saying it's not going to be that. But God has appointed us. And he says he will provide his protection. He will provide his strength. He will provide the authority you need to speak into that situation. I'm 24. I'm going to be leading funerals. Before I joined a church, I'd visited one funeral. And I'm going to be standing in front of people sharing about heaven and eternity and death and what it means and what being in Jesus means when you die. And I've experienced that once. And I'm thinking, and I look at myself in the mirror in a suit and I go, God, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. I'm not good enough for this. I haven't experienced this enough. And God's like, Sam, it's not your authority you're doing it with. Amen. And he says that to every single one. It's not because I sit here as a pastor. It's because I sit here as a follower of Jesus, saying, God, I'm going to follow. I'm going to stand in your authority. I'm going to stand in what you've put me in. I'm going to stand in the place you've appointed me. Because anywhere else, it's not good. It's not pleasing. It's not perfect. I'll be in the social media world trying to show everyone my life's awesome, being in a graduate job, making money, having a nice car. I'm feeling depressed inside because I'm not where God appointed me, but I'm here in this terrifying place, stood with my wife in a church, and I don't know what's coming next week. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that God appointed me. I know that God's given me the authority. I know that God's given me the passion and the power and the strength, and he'll give me the forgiveness when I trip up, and I will. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to say wrong things. I'm going to have people email me and say, that sermon was rubbish. And that's okay. Hopefully it's not today. I'm not giving my email out. Hopefully. But it's going to happen. But because I'm in that place and I'm willing to go, do you know what, God? It's your authority. It's your strength. It's your power. I don't want to cross the T's and dot the I's. Leave them uncrossed and undotted. I don't care. I don't care, God. I just want to chase after you. So let's just dream for 2 minutes, and this is how I'm going to close. Let's just dream. What could this community be like if every single one of us stood today in the authority that God's given us, in the direction God's called us, in the place that he has appointed you? What if every single one of us today didn't say, how am I going to get this done, but said, God, how are you going to get this done through me? How am I going to reflect your character into my workplace, into my school, into my uni, into my family life? How am I going to do that? Imagine if every single one of us here today, if this community started catching ourselves before we made it about us, started grabbing ourselves and going, no, stop. I'm not going to think like that. God, where am I going? Where are you sending me? What conversation do you want me to have? What Bible verse do you want me to bring to someone? What can I do? How can I help this person cross the road, carry a bag? It's the simple things. Let's not get over spiritualized about it. Sometimes it's just, there was a lady yesterday I was at and she couldn't get a bonnet open. And I was about to drive past. I thought, do you know what? Why don't you just stop and help for 1 second? And I got out and she was on the phone. I could tell she was stressed. I think she was calling her husband, probably like, where are you? And I got out, I said, I can help you with your bonnet. She went, yeah, and I just found it, and she couldn't find it. I found the latch, opened it. She was like, thank you so much. It was like it was a bonnet to me. It was literally 10 seconds, nothing. I got a bit of grease on my hands. But to her, it relieved stress. It might have helped her marriage or her and her partner's relationship when she got home that day, because she wouldn't have been screaming at him when she got home. How do I know? But I'm willing to say, God, I'm just going to step out in what you've called into me. I'm just going to go for it. I don't need to know. It's like when you give a prophecy. I don't need to know if it's right. I don't need to know if it's spoke. I'm just going to give it in faith and believe that God's going to speak to you and you can challenge it. I'm going to do this thing for that person. You know what? You hear some crazy stories of people walking down the road and someone's weeping and they just sort of feel I've got to open my arms, I've got to hug this person. I've never met him in my life, I've got to hug him. And they do that, and this person hugs them, or walking up to a house and shouting something in a letterbox, and someone's about to commit suicide, and they just go, Jesus loves you. I don't know why I'm yelling this for your letterbox, but I'm doing it. And they walk off. And the person comes to church next week and said, I was stood on a chair with a rope around my neck. We don't know what things are going to do. I'm not saying it's going to be like that every single day, but sometimes it's going to change the small things. You guys putting money in an envelope changed our life. Changed our life. You guys confirmed ministry in me. Sorry. Oh, I've never had it. You guys confirmed in me what was my calling. When I was about to turn away, when I was about to say to God, I'm too young, I can't do this. Because of your faithfulness. You confirmed in me what God was doing for me. We're all appointed by God. Sorry, man, this is ridiculous. She's laughing because I wept throughout my entire wedding. I cried in the rehearsal. Oh my. Seriously, I wept in the rehearsal and I don't know what happened. When we step out in God, when we step out in what God's appointed us to, not just in ourselves, but as a community, you're going to see amazing things happening. You might never know. You might not have the person come and preach. You're going to affect some amazing kids out in Africa. You might never know the story. They might come and preach in this church, but they might go and lead a revival because someone made the decision to step out into what God appointed them in. How powerful is that? That we can do it. But it means taking our eyes off us. It means saying, oh, do you know what, God, it's not about me. It's about you, so I'm going to step out. I know I've been going for ages, so I'm going to stop. So let's just imagine today, let's take 2 minutes and say, God, what are you calling me to step out into what I'm appointed in? What are the moments in life where I'm putting it on my strength? What are the things I'm looking at my own willpower and own abilities to go, okay, God, I could probably do this for you, but not that. What is that in your life? Is it a friendship? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it financial? Where can you step out in what God's saying to you, where God's appointed you? Going, do you know what, God, it's not my protection, it's not my authority, it's not my strength, it's yours. So have your way. Have your way. If you guys want to just bow your heads and close your eyes. If that's you today and you're here and you're saying, do you know what, yeah, I've made it about me. I think I've made my life with Jesus about me. I think I've looked at my realities, my past experiences, and I've allowed them to shape my future. Not the call of God. Maybe you're here and you say, man, I just want to keep crossing the T's and dotting the I's. I want to make sure my family relationships and all this sort of stuff is, I just want to make sure, well, that sort of stuff is sorted before I follow you, Jesus. Okay, God, let me finish university or let me get to the end of this year before I follow you. Maybe that's you today. If that is you today, God, I'm going to ask you just in a couple of moments just to raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you for all of us that we would be a people that know that we're appointed by God, that know that it's not about our own strength or having a past that's all tied up in a knot, in a bow, and know that it's by God's strength that he will bring his authority and his power to us. So if that's you today, if you just want to raise your hands with me, as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, if that's you, if you're living in your own strength, if you're saying, God, I've made it about me, I've made my life about me, what do you want for me? That's great, you can put your hands down. I'm just going to pray now. Father, I'm so grateful that we get to meet with you. Father, I don't want to take for granted the fact that I can stand up here and preach about you, preach about your life, preach about your word. It's such an honor. But God, I've experienced firsthand how hard it is to make it about you and not about me. I know how easy it is to be a Jeremiah. To stand and say, I'm just too young, to give you excuses, which I think really are reasons, but they're not. And Father, we've got some people in this room that have said I give a few too many reasons and I make it about me, God. So Father, for those people and for every single person in this room as well, I just ask that your spirit would guide us, would teach us, would train us to recognize when we're making it about us, when we're giving you excuses, when we're giving you all the reasons we can't do it, and not looking at the one reason, the one true reason that we can, and that's that you've appointed us. You've given us the strength. You've given us the authority. You're going to protect us. You're going to guide us. You're going to lead us. You're going to give us everything we need. All we need to do is follow you. All we need to do is step out and be obedient to your call. So, Father, for these people, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be with them, would be present with them. Father, I pray that it would teach them and remind them, God, in those moments to just turn, to reorientate themselves just back to you, back to looking at your face, to say, God, you knew me in my mother's womb. You created me. You crafted me. I don't have to worry about a thing. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations, God, but I know that you are calling me into something greater. And so, God, I let go of myself. Today, Father, each and every single one of us declares that we let go of ourselves. We let go of our paths. We let go of the things that we choose to put in the way of your call. We say, rid us of all that stuff, God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may have confidence and trust in you. And let us step forward into your great, amazing call, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.